I said I'd be happy to do that, to come and fill in for him this weekend. Would it be okay if I brought a few Merino magazines along? He says, sure, no problem. You can even take a collection up if you want. I said, no, I've come to help you, and you have helped us very much. All I want to do is leave a few magazines in case any of our younger people especially might be interested in the missionary vocation. And I'll just preach on the gospel. He says, do that. And when I said that, I knew that I would be talking about mission. You can't read the Gospels without hearing about mission. All of the Gospels were written from the perspective of the resurrection. They would not have been written if Jesus had not risen from the dead. And it was through this experience of the resurrection, this experience which we hear about today a little bit in our readings, it was through that experience that these ordinary human beings decided and were convinced that they should go out and share this good news of what has happened with other people. And that's been going on since the beginning of the church. The church exists primarily for those who are not here in the church. All of us, because of our baptism, our entry into the death and resurrection of Christ, have agreed that we will take up this mission to bring the good news of salvation, of liberation, of redemption into the world in which we live. When we begin to focus primarily on ourselves, on our internal needs, our own problems, then our church begins to atrophy. It begins to get stiff. When we focus primarily outside of ourselves, the church is very alive, because that's where we are to go. You see right in our midst still this candle, this Easter candle, which was brought into the church at the vigil of Easter, as a sign that God's light has come into the world, and it enlightens us when we are baptized. We are meant to be a light for other people. And a light's purpose is to reveal, to dispel the darkness, and to enable people to move and find their way. When we are baptized, we agree to accept both the bonus and the onus. The bonus is the new life that we get through Jesus Christ. The onus, the work, is that we agree to accept all that comes with that, the suffering which is necessary if you really want to live out a life that is based on the gospel of the Lord. So today, in the church, in this time of Easter, we are still in Easter time, the third Sunday of Easter. During this time, as we move towards the Feast of Pentecost, what is the church doing? Well, it's doing something very specific. I just want to point it out, because sometimes in our church, where most of us are baptized as infants, we miss this. Where people are baptized as adults, there is a need, after they are baptized, to help them understand the implications of what this baptism is all about. And that's what the church does during these 3 or 4 weeks after Easter Sunday. It says to the newly baptized and to us who've been baptized that you have some very important lessons to reflect upon. And it does this at this time because it is still fresh in the mind of people what they experienced at Easter when they were baptized. And they are asked to talk about and witness to their experience. What was it like to be baptized? I remember asking this one time to a man that I baptized at Easter, a young man, came back, we had these lessons. So I said, what was it like? And I said, you know, I really don't know. I was a child when I was baptized. Tell me what it was like. And he says, it was so great. He says, I fainted. And he really was overcome by the joy. And I says, well, what was so great about it? And he said, the greatest thing was that after we were baptized, we were all taken to the back of the church. And we were given this white garment. We put it on. And then we stood at the door of the back of the church, and all of our brothers and sisters in the congregation began to sing a wonderful hymn. Kari buni wageni, kari buni wageni. Mliofika hapaleo. They can sing better than I do. Which simply meant, welcome. Welcome, stranger. You who have arrived here today, welcome into the family of the Lord. And they were brought into the church. And he says, that was such a great experience for me because I have no family, he said. I live alone. And in our culture and our society, not to have a family, not to have a son, means that you really are dead because there's no one who will carry on your name. And now I have been given a new name. And I have joined this family who welcome me as a son. And he says, that was a tremendous experience for me. The resurrection was a human experience for the first disciples, for those who saw the risen Lord. We do not see in the same way the risen Lord. It's not our privilege to have that. We, as John says in his gospel, are blessed because we who have not seen the risen Lord, yet we still believe. And we take it on the testimony and the witness of other people who have shown us that with their lives, not simply with their words. They have witnessed the love that transforms their life because of sharing in the life of God. And because of that, through all of the good influences in our life, through the formation which we've had, we too profess our belief in the risen Lord. And so we thank God for that, and we accept that this gift which has been given to us, as I've said, is not primarily for us. Baptism is not something that is given to us. It is something which we are to take to other people. If we truly believe that through dying, we also rise, and we have this life in us. If we truly believe that we are not enslaved anymore to death, to the fear of death, then we will live in a different way. And that is a tremendous gift, which we can only share with other people through our witness. It's been my privilege as a missionary working in Africa to meet people rather often who live in that way because of the extreme circumstances that they are in. I recall especially the life of one bishop in the southern part of the Sudan, Bishop Makram Max, who because of his defense of the human rights of his people, who were being slaughtered, bombed, gassed, enslaved, while the world stood by, spoke out so strongly that he was considered to be a persona non grata in his own country and he could not enter his country freely. He would be killed. And so he would come in secretly. And one Easter he came to visit his people, the southern part of Sudan, the diocese of Juba. And while he was there and people were gathered together for Easter celebration, for baptism, for marriages, for everything else, where people were brought who had been enslaved and marked as slaves and were received back into the community and told that no matter what has happened to you, we love you and you are part of our community. During the midst of all of this, a radio call came saying that there are planes that are on the way that are going to bomb in this area. With Bishop Makram Max was a group of people from the United States, from California, some Catholics, who had come to make a film of his ministry in the Sudan. And so they filmed this whole thing that was happening. And the planes came, and fortunately the bombs fell far away, and no one was killed. And afterwards, these Catholics from the United States said to him, "We want to ask you a few questions. What's this about? What's this about?" And he says, "Well," he says, "you know," he explained the whole background of the civil war in the Sudan and everything, but he says, "This is what it's about for us as Christians." He said, "We who are suffering hunger, war, slavery, we identify with the sufferings of Jesus Christ. And we keep strong in our faith. We have not given up the faith." And he says, "We have always been considered to be a church that has been helped out, that has received things. People have been our benefactors. You are our benefactors. You've come to film us. Missionaries came, brought the good news. But now," he says, "we see that we too are a donor church. We have something to give. And what we have to give are these sufferings that we are experiencing in the name of the Lord. And so, without ever seeing us before, without ever coming among us and touching us, without getting to know us, we are having an effect on you." And these men, when they went home, they thought about this. What could this possibly mean? That the sufferings of these people, these innocent people, have an effect, a salvific effect on us. This is the question that faced the first disciples. That's why in the reading we heard today, they were reluctant to ask, "Who are you?" They knew it was Jesus. But they didn't understand how this person who had died in front of their eyes could still be present to them. And so they were afraid. They didn't really know. These things seemed to be disconnected. Only slowly did these realizations of what the implications were of the resurrection come clear in people's minds. And gradually, as we heard in the second reading, people understood that this person who was crucified, who died, whose blood was shed, and who was considered to be a failure by all of his followers, this person is worthy of respect, he's worthy of praise, because what he did for us, what he died for us, meant that we now have a new life. And that is really something that is worthy of praise. Through the death of Christ, God has given us a new life. This is what we call the Paschal mystery. It's a mystery how life can come out of death. And gradually this mystery became clearer and clearer in people's eyes and in their understanding. And when it finally, you'll hear this at Pentecost, dawned on them what this was all about, then the church exploded. People began to realize that this is something that we can't just keep to ourselves. This has implications for everybody. And that net that we heard about in the gospel, that huge net of fish, means that everybody has a right to hear this good news. It's for everybody. And this community in which we live is for everybody. Everybody is welcome to listen to hear, to understand, and to follow the Lord. So that's what the newly baptized Christians hopefully are reminded of during this time. Because they will bring new life into our church. And when you see people who have been baptized, confirmed, and brought to the table of the Lord, and you see how their lives are transformed and what they can do, and how they can witness, even in the midst of sufferings like in the Sudan, to the power of the Word, then slowly you too, as a missionary who was sent to announce this Word, begin slowly to understand what it's all about. Let us pray that all of us, through this time that we have in these few weeks after Easter Sunday, take time to reflect, first of all, about the wonderful gift that we've been given. And secondly, what are some ways that we can share this wonderful gift with other people? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.